Bottom line of Tezvav Amid Beis in Chagiga. No. In the Gemara Chagiga, page 30, bottom line of the page. In our Gemara, it's 15b6 in the Hebrew English. Okay, the Gemara finished, really, the Gemara is elaborating over here the whole story about the four people that went into the Pardis, the secrets of Teda. One of them died, one of them went crazy, one became an Apikadis, and Rabbi Kiva, as expression is, Nichnas B'Shalom V'Yotze B'Shalom. He went in peacefully and he came out peacefully. So the Gemara elaborated on the whole few pages about Acher, how he became an Apikadis, and what happened when he became an Apikadis, and everything that went along the way. So now the Gemara says, the bottom line, after Rabbi Kiva, even Rabbi Kiva, Biksh Malachi Asholus to Deichvei. The Malachim also wanted to push him away. They also wanted to hurt him, so to speak. So it says, no, I'm sorry. You know what? I was supposed to start a half a line before that. Rabbi Kiva, two lines in the bottom of the page. Rabbi Kiva, Allah b'shalom v'yada b'shalom. Rabbi Kiva went in peacefully and we came out peacefully. But all of our Kosev Emir, concerning him, the Pasuk says, Mashcheni, Hashem says, draw me, Acharecha Narutza, we will run after you. Meaning, when you draw unto Hashem, they're going to take care of you, so to speak. So it says, after Rabbi Kiva, Bikshu, Malach HaShor, Sodeichvi. Even Rabbi Kiva, the Malachim wanted to push him off, so to speak, to push him away, that he should also be punished because he used the divine name, thank you, the name of Hashem, to go up there. So, and Amalam HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Hashem said to the Malachim, Hanichu Lezakin Zeh, leave go of this old man, Shadoi Lishtamish Bechvedi, he is deserving to make use of my honor. Okay? And this is the way the Gemara is not done yet, but this is the way the Gemara basically is saying that Rabbi Kiva went in the right way, came out the right way, and Hashem said, leave him be because this person is great enough that he should be able to look at my glory. Now, we like the explanation of this, like we explained a while ago, is the chet, the sin of the three others, of Benazi, Benzema, and Acher, who went into Pardis, was similar to the sin of Nadav and Avihu. What was the sin of Nadav and Avihu? Aaron's two children that we just read about, you know, that they died. So it says, what was their sin? Their sin was the same sin as these three other rabbis. Why? Because when they saw the glory of God coming down when the Mishkan was completed, the Kved Hashem, they had such a longing to godliness, that the neshamas left the body. And that was their sin because that's exactly what Hashem doesn't want. Hashem wants a person to be alive. In fact, that was the Gemara is going to explain the greatness of Rabbi Kiva, that even when Rabbi Kiva looked, but Rabbi Kiva understood, not like the others that look and get out, get away from the body, go out. Rabbi Kiva understood that you have to look, you have to have the longing to be attached to Hashem, yet at the same time, realizing that Hashem wants us to be here. And the Gemara says, my Dadish, what did Rabbi Kiva, what pasuk did Rabbi Kiva study? Or did he expound that he knew not to look where he shouldn't, that something terrible should happen to him? So the Gemara is going to quote a bunch of psukim. Rabbi Bar Bachana said the name of Rabbi Yechanan. It says in the pasuk, Va'asa Meriv Veskedish, Hashem approached with some of the holy malachim. Rivaves actually means tens of thousands of malachim. So it says, Eisu b'ravava shalai, he's represented by a symbol in his myriad. Meaning, the word asa means he came, but asa means Hashem is only symbolized in this great level of malachim. What happened? We learned before in the Gemara, Acher, when he saw the malach matat, sitting, he said, wow, God is sitting? That means he thought Matat is God. And therefore he thought that God is sitting, and he said, well, didn't we learn there's no sitting and standing upstairs in heaven? So that caused him to become an Apikadis. Rabbi Kiva understood, though, that all the greatness that they see is only symbolic of godliness, of God. In other words, it's a very, very minute level of Hashem. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva understood that whatever is going on over there is not reflecting on Hashem himself. So that saved him. Rabbi Abu Amar, Rabbi Abu says a different pasuk. It says in the pasuk, Dogel Mirvava. Dogel Mirvava literally means, the beginning of the pasuk, it says that the beloved is white, preeminent above a myriad. Dogel means preeminent, greater than Ravava, than the angels. Meaning, Dugmahu b'Ravava Shalai. His likeness is only represented in the myriads, meaning in the Malachim. But Hashem himself is much greater.
Rabbi, what's Apurahas? What does that word mean? Apurahas.
Apikaris. Oh, and Apikaris is a non-believer. The Shlokish said, Hashem Tzvok is Shmei, that Hashem's name is Tzvois, Odin Hu B'Tzav Shalei, Hashem is a Lord in his legion. Meaning, he is the Lord of the legion, so all the legions that he saw are nothing compared to Hashem himself. Rebchia Barabin Amen Abi Eichanan, another pasuk says, Le Baruch Hashem, Hashem doesn't come in his wind, and Eliyahu Navi was told, and then he says, Va'achar Ruach Rash, after the wind comes an earthquake. Le Barash Hashem, Hashem is not in the earthquake. Va'achar Rash Eish, and after the earthquake comes a fire. Le Ba'esh Hashem, God is not in the fire. Va'achar Eish, and beyond the fire is called the Mamadaka, came the small, thin sound. And then V'ini Hashem Eivet, then Hashem comes. So he explains, what does this mean? That the explanation is that God is above the earthquakes and the winds and all these spiritual matters. Hashem is above them all. So therefore, basically, Rabbi Kiva, through all these psukim, understood that whatever he sees, he shouldn't be looking the wrong way. He looked the proper way, and because he looked the proper way, so therefore he was able to come out properly. And like in the Ein Yaakov, there's an interesting girsa here. Our Gemara says, the expression in our Gemara is, Ola b'shalom v'yored b'shalom. He went up in peace and came down in peace. In the Ein Yaakov, it's the expression, the girsa, the version is, Nichnas b'shalom v'yotze b'shalom. He went in with peace and he came out peacefully. So the question is, why does the Gemara say that Rabbi Kiva went in peacefully? All that's relevant over here is that he came out peacefully. What's the story? Four people went into Pardes. One died, one became an apikaitis, one became meshuggah, and Rabbi Kiva came out okay. Why does the Gemara use the expression, he went in okay and came out okay? So the explanation is, you know why Rabbi Kiva came out okay? Is because he went in okay. And as he went in with the right attitude, see, when he went in with the right attitude, that allowed that he shouldn't look where he shouldn't. And therefore, he came out okay. Next Gemara is going to be very practical.
So that makes a difference to Nichnas or Ola?
Right. Oh, soccer game tonight. Okay. Nice to see you. Not only that, the main thing is that he shouldn't be looking in a place that he can question what's going on up there, like Achi did. Or in a deeper sense, he shouldn't have a longing to Hashem in a way that he doesn't understand that it's supposed to be a round-trip ticket. Not the Venavi had a one-way ticket longing to God without the return. Rabbi Kiva understood from everything that he saw that this is what, not what Hashem wants.
Is there another place that says that what made him become a Bukharis is because he saw a kid go by sent by his father, killing a man?
Right. Well, the Gemara explained also, we discussed this, no, I don't know if you heard that this year. The Gemara says he heard Garisha music and his wife once smelled. So there's a medrash that's brought down. The Tesis, in fact, brings it down. That what happened was that he saw the kid. Problem is you have to turn 20 pages over here. That there was an actual story that said it was, I think they says a Yerushalmi, that he saw the kid going and he fell down off the tree. Here. Taisa says, "Mumaitzu the perikam gedush shayach shnat alban v'shilach sein lo yedarish k'rabbi Kiva." So Taisa brings a number of things that caused him. Okay, now the Gemara says as follows: Tan Rabban, there's a concept called Shadim. Shadim are called demons. Nowadays they don't exist. In the time of the Gemara, they existed. It's interesting, they bring down over here, where does the name Shade come from? Or some people say Shindalid. But where does the Shadim, the name come from? He says, it comes from the word Shadud, which means desolate. Because most Shadim used to hang around desolate places, not where people were. So that's why they're called Shadim, because they come from, like he says, the word is Shadud. Separate, desolate places. So the Gemara says as follows: there are six characteristics of Shadim. Shleishi kamalachi asharis, three are like angels, ushleishi kubnei adam, and three respects are like people. Meaning, as the Mefarshim explained, the Meral explains, that means that Shadim are in between people and angels. Therefore, there are three ways similar to people, and three ways similar to malachim. What are the three things that are similar to angels? Shleishi kamalachi asharis, yeshlam knafayim kamalachi asharis. They have wings like angels. Number two, v'tasim misefer elam v'atsefi kamalachi asharis. They can fly from one end of the world to the next like angels do. And the Mashal explains, what does it mean they fly? It doesn't mean fly one end of the world to the next. The Mashal explains over here in the Gemara, what it means is they're able to live anywhere. They're able to live in any desolate place. Nothing stops them from living anywhere. They can be anywhere. And the third thing is, v'yedem asha'os liyis k'malachi asharis. They know what's going to be in the future like angels do. So the Gemara says in three things that are similar to malachim. Number one, they have wings. Number two, they can be in any place in the world. And thirdly, they know the future. So right away the Gemara asks, yedem salka daitach? What do you mean they know like angels? And even the malachim, it says, they don't know the future. So if you're telling me they're like angels that know the future, even angels don't know the future, the Gemara asks. And therefore the Gemara says what it means is, Ella, Shemi Miachuri Apargud, they listen from behind the partition like the malachim. Meaning, it says as follows, and the bottom explains, what does this mean? That they don't know, they only know what's the immediate future. What's immediately going to happen, the angels hear like God's announcing what's going on earth, and the malachim hear like a little bit beforehand. So that's what the Shadim know, but the ultimate future they don't know.
Like how many seconds before?
Immediate future. Whatever, I don't know, 2 seconds, 1 second. I don't know, what?
The time it travels from one side of the curtain to the other side.
The expression, the high, there's no curtain up there that they hear it, the kids put their ears next to the door. A curtain is a level of division from a higher level of godliness to a lower level of godliness. So they know from a lower level of godliness what's going to happen in the immediate future. But long-term future, they don't know. Because angels also don't know. So these are the three characteristics that Shadim are like people, are like angels. By the way, when it says angels have wings, it doesn't mean, like you see in the pictures, angels with wings. Because wings is a physical characteristic. You talk about spiritual angels cannot have physical wings. It's a spiritual concept, like love and fear is right wing, left wing. It's not the literal thing of wings that the angels you see in the pictures have wings. Ushleishik b'nei Adam, and three things are similar to people. Echlin v'sheisim b'nei Adam, they eat and drink like people. Pardon v'ravim b'nei Adam, they multiply like people. Umeisim b'nei Adam, and they die like people. Okay?
Angels don't have these characteristics.
No, angels don't die. Angels don't multiply. And, what? And they don't eat. Only when they come down to earth. Like by Avraham Avinu, that's when they ate. The angels came to Avraham Avinu. But this whole concept of the Shadim is interesting because in the time of the Gemara, the Shadim used to damage people. So the whole thing in the Gemara, if you want to see a shade, what do? You take a black cat, who's seven generations black cat, and you burn it, and then you do something to it, and then the shade appears. And one of the rabbis in the Gemara did it, and the shade turned his nose upside down, inside out, I mean. I mean, there's a lot of stories in the Gemara. They used to meet Shadim. They used to hang around in what was called the Churvan, the dilapidated, desolate areas. Then at the time of the Gemara, they banned them from people, because they're doing damage to people. So the rabbis, the Kravashi, those rabbis banned them from people. And the time of Rabbi Adam Baal Shem, who was before Rabbi Saul Baal Shem, he banned them from the face of the earth completely. But they're great mystical powers. He banned them from earth completely. But the Shadim used to come in very handy. When Shlomo Melech needed to build the Beis HaMikdash, and he needed the worm, the Shamir, that would be able to cut rock, like Moshe Rabbeinu used in the Mishkan. So it says, he didn't know where to get it. Where do you find this little worm? It's one worm. Where do you find the worm? So Shlomo Melech had to get a hold of Ashmedai, who was the chief of the Shadim, to find out where the Shamir was. Now, how do you get Ashmedai to come? You can't just call, hey, Ashmedai, come. Huh? Yeah, but Shlomo Melech sent his chief of staff, Benayo Ben Yehoyada, and he told him what to do. He told him there's every day Ashmedai flies to a certain river and drinks up the water. So he says, what you have to do is empty out the water and put in wine. That Ashmedai should drink wine, because we learned they eat and drink like people. So he should drink the wine. And then he was going to fall asleep. Like it says here, they sleep. So when Ashmedai fell asleep, Shlomo Melech told him before him what to do. Take a chain and wrap it around his feet and put God's name, Yudke Vavke, on the lock of the chain, because he can't break open God's name. And he did it, and Ashmedai was stuck, and he got very angry at the beginning. He said, Shlomo Melech needs you. So finally Ashmedai came, and he told Shlomo Melech how to get the Shamir worm to be able to use the Beis HaMikdash. But there's also a story that Ashmedai came back to Shlomo Melech and threw Shlomo Melech 400 mil outside of Eretz, outside of Yerushalayim, and he took over the kingdom. Because it says a shade can take on the form of any person except their feet. Because their feet of a shade, the Gemara says, is webbed like a duck. But he took on the appearance of Shlomo Melech. And then Shlomo Melech finally made his way back to the Beis HaMikdash, to this kingdom, to the throne. He says, hey guys, I'm Shlomo Melech. They said, no, you're not Shlomo Melech sitting on the throne. You're an imposter. So Shlomo Melech says, no, he's the imposter. I'm the real guy. And Shlomo Melech said to them, I'll prove it to you because this king never takes off his shoes. But if you get him to sleep, when he sleeps and you take off his shoes, you see that his feet are webbed. And they did it, and they found out that it was Ashmedai, and Shlomo Melech got the throne back. Anyway, so in this respect, the Gemara says three things that are like angels, three things that are like people, and now the Gemara says another thing.
Wait, so they eat like food, like real food, like food.
It says they eat like people. Are they vegetarians? Do they like?
They're gashmis to some extent.
They're in between.
Yeah. So.
But
people say it's not a good sign if a black cat, crosses your path.
That's superstitious, yeah.
Nothing, there's no basis.
No. Then it says as follows. Shish Dvarim Nemru V'nei Adam. Six characteristics are said about people. Shleishik Kamalachi Asharis. Three of them make them like angels. Shleishik Behema. And three are like animals. So we're lower. The Shadim are between angels and people. We're between angels and animals. So we have both criteria. They're both characteristics. Number one, Yesh Lohem Das K'malach HaShadis. People have an understanding like angels do. Mahalchem Bekeim Maskufa K'malach HaShadis. We walk upright like angels. And the third thing is Mesapim B'loshin HaKedesh K'malach HaShadis. They speak Hebrew like the angels. So the Mefarshim explain, obviously people speak other languages too. And not only, a lot of people don't speak Hebrew either. What it means is that the angels don't speak Aramaic. So therefore, so to speak, we speak in Hebrew like the angels do. Because that was the original language that God created the world with, was Hebrew. Like Rashi says in Chumash. Shleishi kevehima, in three things were characteristics like an animal. Number one, Echlin v'sheisi kevehima, we eat and drink like animals. Part of it, Avim kevehima, we multiply like animals. Or Mitzian rea kevehima, and we give out waste like the animals. I mean, we use the facilities and the restrooms like animals do.
Animals don't use restrooms.
Yeah, but they accomplish the same goal we do.
Cats
are very modest.
Yep.
Then the Gemara continues. In the Mishnah says, "Kol mistakel ba'arba dvarim, whoever looks into four things is rasi l'shelei balam. It would have been better if he wouldn't have been born." That's what the Gemara says. What are the four things? So the Mishnah says, what's above you, what's below you, what's before you, and what's after you. That's what the Mishnah said before. So the Gemara says, Bishlam, I can understand, Mala Maila, what's above you, Mala Mata, what's below you, Mala Ocher, what's behind you, Lechai, I can understand. I mean, not before you, here means after you. But, Lefanim, what's wrong with knowing what was wrong by the Ava Ava? What's wrong with knowing what happened before you? In other words, the Gemara learns the Gemara, the Mishnah literally. You're not supposed to know what's above the worlds. You're not supposed to know what's below the worlds. You're not supposed to know what's happening in the future. And you're not supposed to know what's happening before you.
In the past.
In the past. So the Gemara asks, okay, I can understand above you, don't go too high. But what's wrong with knowing what happened? What happened is history. So why you can't know history? So the Gemara says,
don't people know that there's heaven above us?
Yeah.
And Gehenna below us?
How far down is Gehenna?
You never came across it?
All my friends are there.
Come on. Don't be funny.
Yeah, I'm going to go join them.
Now, I told you a couple of weeks ago, there's no place for you in Gehenna.
Okay. Rabbi Yechman Abelazah Dame Tavayu. So the Gemara's question was, what's the big problem with knowing what happened in the past? That's what the Gemara thought. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yechman Abelazah say no. It's a marshal of Melech Basav Adam. Sha'amer Lavodav. It's a very interesting marshal. It's a marshal of a king that told his servants, Benuli Patrin Gedelan Alo Ashpa. I want you to build me a beautiful palace on the garbage dump. So he says, Hochu Banulei. So they went and built the palace. After the palace is built, the king didn't want a Nitzayna Shomelech. The king didn't want that it should be made a mention that the palace was built on trash. The Mefarshim, right, it's not a very interesting, it's not a perfect mashal, because over there the palace was built on ashpa, on junk. Here, what's the Gemara's answer? The Gemara asks, we're not talking about what happened in history past. We're talking about what happened before the world was created. The Gemara says, don't try going into the before world levels. Don't think about what will happen when the world ends. Don't think about what happened before the world started. Don't think what's above the world. Don't think what's below the world. So the Gemara says, what's wrong with going into the past history? The Gemara says, no, we're talking about before the world was created. And so the Gemara gives a mashal, like before the world, so to speak, there was a garbage dump. So the king said, I don't want any garbage dump mentioned. But the Mefarshim asked, L'cha'eda, the world wasn't created on top of a garbage dump. There was nothing before the world was created. But it means, again, a person should not try to imagine something that they can't. You can't imagine it, so you don't go into things you shouldn't think about. Okay, then the Gemara says, another thing the Mishnah said, whoever has no heed, whoever doesn't care about the glory of Hashem, would have been better if he would have never been born. Okay? Why? The simple meaning of it, because it says in Pirkei Avos, whatever God created, He created for His glory, to reveal His glory. So therefore, if you don't care about Hashem, you should have never been born, because the whole world is for the glory of Hashem. So the Gemara says, Mahi, what does this mean? What does it mean, you don't care about God's glory? What does it mean? So Gemara answers a few answers. The Baba, and the Gemara is going to explain each one. The Baba, Omer, the Baba says, I'm ekstako bekeshes. It refers to somebody that gazes at a rainbow. Now, there's a difference between looking at a rainbow, because there's a bracha. When you see a rainbow, you're supposed to make a bracha. There's a bracha in the city, you make on a rainbow. So what does the Gemara mean? There's a difference between looking at a rainbow, which is allowed, or gazing at a rainbow. Gazing at a rainbow is not good. And he's going to explain why. And the second thing, Rabbi Yosef Amar, Rabbi Yosef says, what does it mean you don't care about the glory of God? So, ha'eved aveda beseser, a person who commits a sin in private. Meaning as follows. It's similar to what the Gemara explains, the difference between a ganef and a gazlan. A ganef is a guy that steals quietly in the middle of the night. A gazlan is a brazen robber. He does it broad daylight. So the din is, a ganef, when he's caught, has to pay double. A gazlan, when he's caught, only has to pay one, not double. So the Gemara explains, L'cheira, why should a gazlan pay double, and if a ganef pays double and a gazlan pays one? So the answer is very simple. A ganef is worse than a gazlan. A ganef steals at night quietly. That means he's afraid of people, but he's not afraid of God, because he's stealing. That's worse. A gazlan, he's a brazen type of a personality. He doesn't care about anybody. He doesn't care about people. He doesn't care about God. So he'll steal in broad daylight. That guy is not so bad, because that's his personality. He doesn't care about anybody. Not God, not people. But to be more afraid of people than God, that's worse. So the Gemara says over here, what is considered a person who doesn't care about the glory of God? A person who does an Aveda discreetly. He does an Aveda discreetly, he's worse. Because he only cares about what people are going to think, not what God is going to think. So then he doesn't care about the glory of God.
Rabbi.
Yeah.
Quick comment. One of the greatest baseball players of all times was Goose Goslin. 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 But he didn't do the things that you've got in the Gemara. He was a nice guy. He hit the hell out of a baseball.
The Gemara says, Mistako Bakeshes, what's wrong with looking at a rainbow? That we said this is like you don't care about God's glory. So the Gemara says, because it says in the pasuk, "Kamari akeshes, asher yibon b'yem hageshem." It says like the appearance of a rainbow that would be a cloud in a rainy day. Kamara negesaviv. So was the appearance of the brilliance of the glory of God, which mare dumus kved Hashem, which is the likening of the glory of Hashem, meaning something. Let's put it this way. Staring at something is disrespectful. You see, even the social etiquette, ethics, it's not nice to stare at a person. It's a lack of respect when you stare at somebody. The Gemara, the Pasuk likens the glory of God to the glory of a rainbow. So by staring at a rainbow, it's like disrespect to God. Because you're staring at God. And he says, therefore, it says even more, because a rainbow, not because of its brightness, it's a rainbow is inherently ambiguous sight, but one cannot clearly see where the band of one color ends and the next begins. And so it is by God, you cannot have a fixed perception of God. This is what the Tosfos Siddur explains, they bring down. A rainbow is very hard to see where one color ends and the next color starts. You see different colors, but it's hard to get the details. And that's why Hashem's glory is likened to a rainbow, because just like you don't understand a rainbow, you don't understand Hashem. So by gazing at a rainbow, it's disrespectful to Hashem.
How does this compare with Hashem should be before me at all times, every time?
Shavisa Hashem L'Negdi Sabim means He plays God always opposite you. that the awareness of God is supposed to stop you from sinning. But that doesn't mean the concept of gazing to try to understand something you can't is disrespectful to God.
That's why, because a rainbow you can't
right.
comprehend.
Right. Now, if a person gazes, no, it means as follows. If a person gazes at God, so to speak, with an expectation of trying to figure him out, God says, what do you think I am? Something you can figure out? What do you think? I'm somebody you could figure out with your limited brain. What are you trying to understand me for? So a person from one side has a mitzvah to understand God. At the same time, he has to understand that he can't. What?
Regarding the failure not to summon, because
hiding. The Gemara is going to ask that question. One second. The Gemara is going to ask this question in 2 minutes. Then it says, Rav Yosef says, "Aveda aveda b'seisa." This refers to one who commits an aveda in secret. Like Rabbi Yitzchak said, "The Amar Rabbi Yitzchak kol aveda b'seisa." Whoever does an aveda in quiet, in hidden, in secret. It's like you're pushing off the Shechina. Why? Because it says, "Kayamar Hashem, Hashemayim kisi, the heaven is my throne, v'ha'aretz adem raglin, the earth is my footstool." So what does a person think? That why, when I sin privately, because God's not looking. So what are you basically doing? You're basically denying the fact that God is existing. So he says, when you do an aveda privately, it's no good. So the Gemara asks, now the Gemara is going to ask you a question. So the Gemara says, "Eini va'amar Rabbi Lo Yazakin, Rabbi Lo the Zakin, the elder said, Imreya Adam Shiyitzrim is Gaber Olav. If a person sees that his Yetzahar is getting too powerful, the meaning he's getting him to sin, what should he do? Yelech l'makim she'ein makir neisim. They should go to a place where he's not known, where nobody knows him." The Yilbash Shechedim, he should put on black clothing. The Yisatav Shechedim, wrap himself in black. The Yasem Ashalibe Chofetz, he should do whatever he wants. Vayichalo Shem Shemayim Befet Hesya. And he should better not desecrate God's name in public. Meaning, if a person sins in a place where people know you, so you're like desecrating the name of Hashem in public. The Gemara says, like you said, you want to sin? Go to a place nobody knows you. And another Gemara says, this Gemara, another Gemara says, shave your beard. You know, just don't look Jewish, you know. Just do it in a way that you're going to sin. Nobody should know you're Jewish because you don't want to desecrate the name of God. There's a little difficulty over here. First of all, what is the concept of putting on black clothing? Huh?
You should take them off.
No, so it says...
Morning.
It depends what garments most people wear.
That's why most people wear black clothes, black and white clothes.
It says, there's two different ways of learning, because there's a very, very funny, Tosfos talks about it. The Gemara says, put on black clothing, v'yasem ha'sheli b'chofetz, and do whatever you want. What is that, an okay to sin? It sounds funny, the expression of the Gemara. The Gemara says, okay, you want to sin? Go to a place nobody knows you, put on black clothing, and you could do, v'yasem ha'sheli b'chofetz, means you could do whatever you want. So, what it means is as follows. Number one, the concept of the black clothing, the Mefarshim explain, is because when you put on black clothing, it humbles you. It humbles you, it makes you more conservative, so to speak, and it will refrain him from sinning. And the Rabbeinu Chananel, who interprets it this way, he quotes a saying that a dog outside his town will not bark for 7 years. Because he's not used to the place yet. A place you're accustomed to, you'll bark. Like, you know, a lot of people, when they feel at home, they make a lot of noise. When they go away somewhere else, they behave. When they're home, you know, they make a lot of noise. So, the Bichanan says that the expression, a dog outside his home will not bark, outside the city won't bark for 7 years. But, or as Mefarshim explained, even if he sins, nobody's going to look at him because they don't know who the guy is.
How do you explain all the noise
in
some
shul.
People in your minyonim, make. I don't want to mention names. You know him as well as I do. But the Schreigewald.
I know him very well.
He's talking to you.
No, you got the wrong guy. There are people at this table that I can name.
Okay, whatever.
How do you explain that?
So Taisus explains that the Ben Ochanano learns that Chas Shalom, that the Gemara is going to permit you to sin. The Ben Ochanano learns what it means is it's going to humble you that you won't come to sin. But Taisus says, and the Gemara it implies, it's better to sin whatever you want in private rather than doing the same sin in public. Because when you do it in public, it's a desecration of God's name also, which makes it much worse. So the Gemara's question anyway is, we just got through saying, Rav Yosef says if you want to sin, a private sin is worse than a public sin, right? And here the Gemara says that a public sin is worse than a private sin. So the Gemara says, Halei Kashi, it's not a question. Rav Yosef, who says a secret sin is worse than a public sin, refers to an Aveda that really you can stop doing. You can hold yourself, refrain yourself from sinning. When did Rabbi Ilel, the elder, say that you should go to a place that nobody knows you and sin? That's speaking if you can't hold yourself back. It's just impossible not to sin. Then you can't stop your inclination, then you can do it. Okay, then the Gemara says, what? That's Rabbeinu Hanano.
Yeah.
But Taisus disagrees. Taisus writes because Leiker Bish Rabbeinu Hanano. Taisus said Mashma Lagamri that you could sin. Then the Gemara says another interesting din. Darish Rav Yehuda, by the way, this is a practical din too. Darish Rav Yehuda Rav Nachmani Metugamin Reish Lakish. Rav Yehuda, the son of Rav Nachmani, who is the spokesman for the Reish Lakish, said, whoever gazes at three things, ain of koyis, his eyes grow dim. Meaning, his eyesight becomes affected. What are the three things? Cassius, a rainbow. A nasi, a leader of the Jewish people. Or at koyanim, at the time they duchen. Meaning, each one resembles the glory of God. So if you stare at a rainbow, or at a Jewish leader, Nasi means the Jewish leader. Or the Kohenim, when they duchen, it affects the eyesight. Because the glory of God is there. And it says, where do we see it? Bakeshes, you're not allowed to gaze at a rainbow. Where do you see this godliness in a rainbow? So it quotes the pasuk we learned before. Tamara keshes ashiya ba'anabiyam agashim. Just like the rainbow that's in the cloud on a rainy day. Who married the most great Hashem is the likeness of the glory of Hashem. So you see that a rainbow is the glory of Hashem. But Nasi, you're not allowed to look at a Nasi, gaze at a Nasi, Dichsiv, and Asata, Mehait Cha'olav. Hashem said to Mesha, take from your glory and put it onto Yeshua. Mesha had God's glory. That means Yeshua had God's glory. So you can't look at God's glory. And one who looks at Kayanim is speaking in the time of Beis HaMikdash Kayam. Shayoim de Maladuchim, when the Kayanim would stand on the platform. And they would bless the Jews with the real name of God. Not Yudkei Vavkei, but they said the real 42-letter name of God. So then, when the Kohenim and the Beis HaMikdash duchened, it was actually the glory of God.
How many letters?
42. Now, 1 minute. So Taisus asks a question. So why, that which means today you could look at the Kohanim. Because we don't have, they don't duchen in the Beis HaMikdash with the 42 name of Hashem. So Taisus asks a question because it says people that have blemishes shouldn't duchen because people are going to look at them and then you, but that wasn't, anyway, so Taisus answers, even nowadays you're not allowed to do it. Because you're going to distract the Kayanim. You know when you stare at somebody, they feel somebody staring at them? trying to get somebody's attention, you start staring at them and they turn to you. So it says, when Kayanim feel that people are staring at them, they're going to get mixed up and they're going to not concentrate properly on the Duchanim.
They're covered anyways.
Oh, that's why we cover their hands. Why do Kayanim cover themselves? In the time of the Beis HaMikdash, they had to cover their hands because the glory of God was on their fingers. And if you looked at it, it would affect your eyesight, like the Gemara says here. So why do we do it now? Yeah.
But now we look at the
Shabbos. Huh?
We look at the Shabbos.
When?
When he says...
Duchenin? No, this... Yeah, but that's... Here you don't have the Kohen when they duchen. The Shabbos you're supposed to look at.
But the Kohen is covered now. How come you have to be covered? They don't see you looking at them if they're covered.
Yeah, but it's a double protection.
People
Dafke looked at the Rebbe. Dafke the screamed that you're not allowed to.
When he was
there, Rebbe.
Rebbe used to scream. Oh, it's a little stock
of... When you went by dollars, people took off their glasses.
It was for a second. It wasn't an extended period of time. What?
You couldn't look at the Rebbe at any time?
He's talking about gazing.
Didn't the Rebbe gaze at the people, though? They said...
No. The only time it says, after Tekiah Shefer, you're supposed to look at the face of the person that blows Shefer. It's a school for Yerushalayim.
When?
After Tekiah Shefer.
When? Yom Kippur?
No, Rosh Hashanah with Yom Kippur. The kid is no Shefer. I mean, at the end of the day, but that's not... In fact, the Rebbe used to blow Shefer. When he went back to his seat, after Tekiah Shefer, the Rebbe took a look, turned around and looked at the whole Eilam. And then turned back.
When people talked to the Rebbe, they were supposed to look down?
Again, there's a difference in long-term gazing, short-term gazing, you know, why you're gazing. There's another Gemara that says you're not allowed to look at a Rasha either. So I guess everybody should just look down.
Do you know how many people look at this head from Rasha?
Yeah.
You do?
Yep.
They should be learning Gemara with you. Right? Shin Shin.
Yeah, whatever you say.
He doesn't lie, but...
Okay, let's start the next piece of God. Darsh Reb Yehuda Reb Nachmanim Metukim and Reish Lakish. Ma'idach Siv, what does this say? It says in the Pasuk, Al Tamino Bereya, do not trust a friend. Al Tivtchu Ba'aluf, don't rely on an official. The Pasuk says, don't trust a friend, don't rely on an official. So Gemara said, what does the Pasuk mean? By the way, it means don't trust a friend. But anyway, so it says, Im Li'e Melach Yetzahara, Bera, is not, don't read a Bereya and a friend, read a Bera, the Yetzahara. Meaning, if your Yetzahara comes to you and says, Chatei, sin, Vakadosh Baruch Hu Meichel, and God will forgive you, Al Tamenle, don't believe him. Meaning, the Pasuk says like this, your friend, meaning the Yetzahara is going to come to you and say, sin, and God will forgive you. He said, don't trust your friend, and don't believe that God is going to forgive you. He said, Ein Al Yetzahara Shinama Ki Yetzalev Adam Ra, like it says, Aluf Norei Atar, you are the master of my youth. So Shematem and me, maybe, if you can ask who's going to testify against me, the Yetzar comes to a person to sin in private, right? And he says, sin. So don't believe him because God's going to punish you. So he says, who's going to testify? God needs witnesses, right? Because that's what Torah says. You have to punish somebody, you need witnesses. So he says, Avne Beisiv, Ekeres Beisiv, Shalodame Ma'idim Bei. The stones of your house and the beams of the house are going to testify against you. Shenamer, because the Pasuk says, Ki Avim Mikir Tizok, a stone will cry out from the wall, V'kofetz Meis Yanena, the chip from the beams will testify. And then the Gemara says, Chacham Meim Nishmasa Shalodame Ma'idim Bei, the neshama of the person testifies against him. Shenemar, Meshchaves Chikecha Shmer Pischi Picha. Guard the doorways of your mouth and the one who lies in your bosom. What's in the bosom of the person? That's the neshama. So therefore, the neshama is going to testify against you. Rab Zrika Amar, Shnei Malachi Yesharitzim Malavana Yisei, the two angels that accompany him. Like it says, Malachi Yitzava Loch Lishmorcha Bechol Derechach, the angels accompany you when you die. They're going to testify against you. Chachamim Eimrim, Chachamim say, Eivarev Shaladim Eidim Bei. You know what's going to testify against us after 120 years? Our organs. Shenemar va'atem eidai num Hashem, you are my witnesses, the word of God, and Hashem says, I am God. Meaning, the Pasuk says, if you're going to sin, don't think you're going to get away with it, because the beams and the walls and the stones and your neshama and the malachim and your organs, everybody's going to testify against you.